Thank you. First, I would like to thank Jonas for giving me the opportunity to speak here. I'm currently doing a PhD thesis under the supervision of Professor Arnold, who started the talk, so it's a nice wrap around of our group here. And I would like to talk a bit on the possibilities of using entropy methods for quantum systems to gain results on explicit convergence rates. Professor Arnold gave a short answer that that might be possible at the end of his talk. And now I'm going to tell you what we already have and what we want to do. Okay, so, yes, as I said, I'm researching a quantum entropy method. That is, we want to gain a tool where we can impose conditions on open quantum systems to gain explicit rates for convergence to a unique equilibrium state. And the motivation behind this is the classical entropy method, which I will explain very briefly at the beginning of the talk. Okay, let's just start. Okay, what does the entropy method basically do? We'll take a very simple example, the most basic one. Just consider this Fokker-Planck type equation, where you have normalization of the solution. And then you can define a relative entropy. I think the quadratic one, because this is sort of easiest to use. Another very famous one and has been used a lot more here is to take the logarithmic entropy. Could be this one. But for demonstration purposes, let's take the quadratic one. It's a positive quantity, and if you take the derivative twice and compare the first and second order derivative, we can impose a condition that implies exponential convergence. Now, this condition is by no means exhaustive, so the error in the other direction would be wrong. Okay. So basically, you define a function that measures the distance between your solution and your steady state, and by examining its derivatives, you hope to find a condition as this. So this is just a convex potential. That gives you exponential decay and an explicit rate. Okay. So we have already seen this once only, I think, the general open quantum system in Lindblad form. This is a very famous form, I think the theorem that gives the form for any quantum dynamical Zander group with a bounded operator goes back to the 80s or 70s. It's a theorem by Lindblad, that's why it's called Lindblad form. And this is generally a Schrödinger equation. Just the stick. This is in density matrix form. The commutator with a Hamiltonian. This gives you the unitary time evolution, and there has been a lot of results on the open quantum systems, the quantum systems, if you don't have this part. Okay, this part is what makes it an open quantum system. This is called the Lindblad part, and it basically models the interaction with an exterior heat bath, for example. This is a dissipative operator, and yes, we hope that from the dissipativity of this operator, we can maybe convergence and with rate. Okay, so for now we focus on a very simple system because there's not a lot of results anyhow for other ones, and that is drop the Hamiltonian part and drop the sun. So for first, just use a simple Lindblad part as a basis to see what's actually going on. And we further restrict ourselves to finite dimensions. So we have the traceless operators over a finite dimensional Hilbert space. It's actually just the n times n matrices. Okay. Then there has been a paper very recently, and very luckily coincided with the start of my thesis, that has been by Baumgartner, Nahnhofer, and Thuring in the end of the last year, where they give first results on such systems. And that is, consider this operator as defined before. For some matrix L, then the first question to prove convergence to unique steady states would be, well, are there unique steady states? And it turns out that usually there's not a unique steady state. You have to impose quite thorough conditions in the L to have really a unique steady state. So up to unitary equivalence. Your L has to be of this form. So it's a full John block. If you have any more normal L, like diagonalizable or something like that, you gain a set of steady states. Okay? So that's, of course, not what we want to discuss to start with, because it's quite more difficult. Okay, then for this...
there must be a normalization, right? For the steady state, no?
Yeah, for the steady state, that's just... That is,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. There you would have to divide by the trace. Yeah, I left it out. Okay. Here you actually don't have to divide by the trace, because by construction this is already normalized to one. You have to... you can have two cases. Either you have a zero on the diagonal, then the L is nilpotent, or you don't. Yeah? In case you don't, you get an invertible steady state, you even get an explicit formula from the paper. And in case you have a zero here, your steady state is actually highly non-invertible. It has only one eigenvalue that's not zero. Okay. So if you go back to how you define the entropies, that's a bit of a problem, because you have the steady state usually inverted in entropies, or in the logarithmic entropy also. Yeah? So if you have zeros there, you get a problem. Okay, then they also gave, actually already a proof that you will have decay for the system, but without a rate. Because they proved that you will not have positive eigenvalues, and you will not have purely imaginary eigenvalues. Okay, so if you have just one zero eigenvalue, because it's only finitely many one, you already get decay, but you don't get a rate. So, towards the rate. Our first idea was to just transfer the classical method directly. The classical method has a weighted L2 space. You can see it basically here. You get the quadratic difference on a weighted space by the inverse of the steady state. So let's do that in the quantum case. You just define a Hilbert norm scalar product like this with the inverted steady state in it. And you actually can see that you can really transfer a lot of the classical theory directly. Yeah? And so you get, for the self-adjoint part of the operator, you get something that more or less looks exactly like the self-adjoint part of, like the operator in the classical sense. If you just replace the gradient by the commutator with L, right, and the divergence by the commutator with the Hermitian adjoint of L, you get the same form, and that's nice. I mean, it gives hope to that you can transfer more things, so let's see. If you then just look at the quadratic difference, so this is just insert rho minus rho inf t in this product and do a bit of calculation involving the normalization for the quadratic entropy, you get this form, which again looks like this form. And what's even nicer, if you take the first derivative, you also gain you also gain more or less exactly the same representation. Okay. So our hopes were quite high that you can take this further. So in the classical case, if you take the derivative here, you have to commute once the Laplacian and the gradient, and do some partial integrations, and then you get for the second derivative this form. And if you see, you can see if you just can estimate this by the multiple of the identity below, you just get minus lambda times the first derivative, and thereby your exponential decay. Okay, so this is the simplest case. The problem is you do not get something like this commuting property for the quantum case. It's actually that if you cannot assume that anything commutes in the quantum case, because here, as you can see, this L does not commute with its Hermitian adjoint. Yeah. For that to be true, it would have to be normal, and then you don't have a unique steady state. So the conditions for the unique steady state bar out the nice else, that would probably help you in your calculations. So there is not a totally analogous condition, which is probably not very surprising. But right now we do not have an idea how the other, how the new condition could look like, and we hope there is one. But right now we do not have an idea. You can however see that if you just compute the eigenvalues for a few dimensions, 2, 3, 4, to see what's actually going on, you see that the decay rate decreases with the dimension of your matrix. Okay? So you won't get a well, the same condition for everything. You have a condition that is dependent of the dimension. Okay. And what we also did was look a bit at the non-invertible steady state. But you cannot, of course, just do this, yeah, because there is no inverse. But what you can do is define an entropy function like this. Now, this is basically just a quadratic norm on the orthogonal space to the steady state. Yeah, so you just have a quadratic norm for everything that is not a steady state, on a steady state line. So this is reflected here. I mean, the other directions, of course, also true. If you insert the steady state here, you get zero. And if you have this is zero, then you are on the space spanned by the steady state. And because of the normalization property, you know that if you start with the density matrix with the right trace, you will get the right trace here. And what you can actually prove is that this one, this functional decays with rate 1 minus epsilon for any epsilon greater than 0. So this is might be a bit surprising, because I just told you that you usually will have an n-dependent rate. Now this isn't an independent rate, but this really seems to be the exception.
But the n-dependent rate means that...
That you have something like 1 over n or so here.
Yeah, 1 over n. So basically it means you cannot pass through the limit as n tends to
no, I have no result yet.
There's no hope for quantum field theory in itself.
Well, there's no hope now.
Quantum field theory, I mean, but Schrödinger.
Yes, for those particular examples, exactly, yes.
There's no result yet where you could pass through the limit. So here...
So there might be other classes of examples where you can do that. That's what we hope. But for those examples,
then I think of quantum Fokker-Planck. Quantum Fokker-Planck is an example like this. And
no, because there is a
Hamiltonian.
Then sums might also improve the situation a bit if you take more than one limit part. So there's still a bit hope. It's just here at the end.
There has to be hope, because we know for quantum Fokker-Planck in some cases there is exponential convergence.
Yeah, yeah,
But here's, there's no hope. I mean, the rate stays constant, but your constant explodes with n. So this, if you can also not take the limit here. Okay, so how do you prove this? Just take the first derivative of this one and apply some very basic inequalities. And you get, again, your functional plus some term that, well, it's not too nice, where you can shuffle the terms you don't want into. But this is basically just something that destroys your estimate first in the first place. So you will have to refine the analysis a bit and take a slight modification of the entropy by adding in a new factor to get a Lyapunov functional. So how to define this new factor? Do this. Note that we have, for the case that you have zero here, should actually be written somewhere, the L is nilpotent with order n. So I could write infinity here because all other parts of the sum would vanish anyhow. Okay. So if you take this functional and take the derivative again, you get the functional back with minus 1, which is the rate we more or less hope for. And you also get a bonus, and the bonus is just what you need to cancel the additional term that you had from the entropy. Okay, so you of course have to choose your constants. Right. Okay, now then you know the sum. well, for the sum you get the equality that you wanted. You have to throw away an epsilon here. That's okay, because the s is bigger than 0, the minus s is smaller than 0. So across the holes. So you get that the sum decays exponentially. And since S was a positive function, you can actually just drop it here and you get K4E. So the positivity is crucial. What you paid, of course, for it, because now the C here does not only depend on the initial value of the entropy itself, but also the initial value of this function. Yeah? And this gets rather big, of course, with n. I mean, there's a lot of positive constants here. So, yeah, just as I said, you cannot take this to the limit because your constant explodes. And this actually has a reason. If you look at the eigenvalues, you will see that one of them actually degenerate with order n. So there is, of course, no limit. And also, I believe that this is probably not 100% perfect because the sharp one of the eigenvalues degenerates, however, it's not the largest one. So the you should be able to somehow circumvent the epsilon here. Okay. So in summary, we have one result and one case where we actually well, it seems that we're close to a result, but I don't want to be too optimistic. So what we're now actually looking at is can one this one result that we have, can one transfer it to the case where we have the invertible steady state. Now if you look back at that case, you actually see that this computation here can prove to be a real advantage because what we were using was the new potency of the L. Yeah? And as you can see here, any diagonal part of the L can just be left out in this form because the identity commutes with everything. So you can just, if you are in this form, you can just drop the A to be zero and you get a nilpotent L again. Okay, so there's hope that one can find more difficult functions that can also prove the decay here. Okay. And as I said, if you add different Lindblad parts together, you can actually have very nice evolutions. Yeah. So they can the difficulties can somehow cancel, and the okay. So to finish, let's see what problems we face. The one is that the eigenvalues of these Lindblad parts can actually degenerate quite heavily. As I said, in the one case, it degenerates with order n. Yeah, so you will not have a limit for n to infinity because where there's probably no decay anymore in that case. And therefore you could probably not, it's probably not sufficient to just look at the entropy, but you will have to probably look at a Lyapunov function that somehow entails the entropy. On the other hand, if we take this A and just compute the eigenvalues for low dimensions, it seems that they already decay quite fast to zero as n goes to infinity, so there it's also probably hard to get an estimate for all n. And also, when one transfers this result, one will have to encounter a situation somewhere where you need to use the dimension, because you cannot have an independent rate there. Okay, and then especially for the entropy that one would be more interested in, like the logarithmic one, there is a problem because the time derivative of the density matrix, which is the operator on the density matrix, does not commute with the density matrix. And therefore, you cannot simply, you can simply derivate functions of the matrix. Yeah. If you had that, you could just take the derivative. So if you take a time derivative here, you could just write this. This would, of course, be very nice and convenient, but it's only true if they commute. And if some of you know the work of Sprohn from the 70s, it's actually quite tough to prove how derivatives of the entropy look if you have non-quadratic entropy. There's a result for the logarithmic entropy, but it's not easy, and it only holds true that you get a derivative in finite dimensions. So in the infinite dimensional case, often you cannot even prove how the derivative looks like of the entropy. Okay.